And what we learned this weekend is a huge part of knowing God the Holy Spirit is knowing He's a person. And as He is a person, what the Bible tells us, we also need to know that we can also grieve Him. We as children of God can grieve the Holy Spirit of God because, again, He's not a force. He's a person. He can be grieved.
Hi, listeners, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, you've got something on your heart you want to share before we begin.
Yeah, I'd just love to talk to our listeners today. Maybe you've been a longtime listener here at Live in the Light. Maybe you're someone who's tuned in just recently. I just always love when sometimes I'm out and about, I meet people, and they just express such encouragement of how this ministry's blessed them and encouraged them as they're driving their car or in their home or wherever they might be. And that's, again, such a blessing to hear. I want to just extend to you today that maybe you would consider the value of the light that is coming from this ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ in our very dark world. We're looking for people to partner with us here at Live in the Light. In some ways, I want to call them light bulbs because I think it's so great. You can be used to a source of light to shine where you are by giving to this ministry to further the kingdom. So maybe you want to consider today becoming a power partner at Live in the Light. And that would be seen as someone who's willing to donate a small amount each month that we may continue to be here on this station for the purposes of God's glory through His truth. Again, it's so needed. So I'm asking you right now, would you consider this day? Would you prayerfully consider becoming a power partner as someone who's willing to join to see the light shine in the darkness so people like you and others can be impacted by the truth of God's word in a time where it is so urgently needed? Craig's going to tell you how to do this in a second, but again, I'm just so thankful that you will take a moment. Just take a moment where you are and say, hey, Lord, would you like me to do this? This is something you are leading me to do, and we would treasure your involvement with us here at Live in the Light.
All right, loved ones, as Robbie has said, if God's stirring in your heart and you want to be that power partner, we'd love to hear from you. Our website is liveinthelight.ca. A lot of details there that you can connect with and join up in. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, turning our thoughts now to today's message, Robbie, we're going to an important topic again in our series on the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is something that everyone's going to want to listen to. And trust me, in some ways it's going to hurt, but the Lord brings hurt to bring healing. It's on the issue of grieving the Holy Spirit. How often do you think about that? We are able to grieve the Holy Spirit. We can never lose Him as genuine believers in Christ, but we can grieve Him or quench Him within our lives. And so again, what an important topic, because who really wants to do that for those of us who truly love the Lord, right? And the answer is no one. So listen in today. You sit up a little straighter, get ready to receive. Let's learn about grieving the Holy Spirit that we may not do that and see His blessing flow through our lives today and in our time that we have.
All right, well, let's get our Bibles open if you can, and let's join again with Pastor Robbie with today's teaching on grieving the Holy Spirit.
Ephesians 4, verse 30. We have 2 weeks left in our series on the Holy Spirit, Lord willing. And all throughout this series, we have been examining the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you as to where we started in this series, way back in week one, all the way back, I believe, again, it was January. And here's the quote by Thomas Arnold. This is where we began in the first week. He who does not know God, the Holy Spirit, cannot know God at all. That's why this series is such a big deal. That's why it's utterly foundational. Because if we don't know God, the Holy Spirit, then really we're operating within two-thirds of the Trinitarian Godhead. It's not going to go so great. This is why we need to be here. This is why we need to know Him. And what we learned this weekend is a huge part of knowing God the Holy Spirit is knowing He's a person. And as he is a person, what the Bible tells us, we also need to know that we can also grieve him. We as children of God can grieve the Holy Spirit of God because, again, he's not a force. He's a person. He can be grieved. And so this becomes a very, very important truth in our lives as we consider the fact that we can quench the Spirit of God. We're going to hear this weekend. We can grieve the Spirit of God. And therefore, if we grieve the Spirit of God, think of the blessing that we forfeit. Think of the marriages that struggle and crumble because they are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Think of the power that we don't experience because we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Think of the churches that fall apart because they grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, when we quench his fire in our lives, wisdom gone, strength gone, glory gone. So we got to take a few moments to learn what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God so we can avoid it at all costs. Another critical message for our lives today in the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, let's start at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Wasting no time, let's jump right in. As we seek to relate and love the Holy Spirit, number one is this: do not grieve him. Why? It causes him sorrow. Do not grieve him. It causes him sorrow. The very truth that we are able to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, the very fact that that is fact, should cause us right now sober-minded reflection. Again, you can't grieve a force. It's impossible to grieve a force. You can grieve a person. And theologians have recognized that truth for centuries. Verse 30, the word grieve here means to cause sorrow or to cause distress. It's remarkable to think that this is the impact of our sin upon God the Holy Spirit. When we sin, the Holy Spirit will experience the grief appropriate to his deity. He is God, therefore he hates sin. He detests sin. He cannot stand in the presence of sin. So when our lives are riddled with sin, you can imagine the reaction of the perfect Holy Spirit of God within us. Because let us not forget that we, as we are regenerated by the Spirit of God, we actually become temples of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And for example, in 1 Corinthians now chapter 6, consider the impact of sexual sin within our temples as we are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Sexual immorality, porneia, all sorts of different kinds of sexual sin. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Whom, person, Holy Spirit of God, you have from God? You are not your own. For you are bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And when sexual sin comes into the temple of the Holy Spirit, you can only imagine when pornography knocks on the door of the temple and the Holy Spirit approaches the door and is aghast at what he sees. Think of how grieved he is in that moment. Think of how sad he is. You want to let that in here? You want that wretched filth, sin of the pit of hell itself to come in here? And remember that when we let that sin into our lives, that's what actually happens. This isn't just a nice symbol or metaphor, some kind of illustration. This is what happens. He becomes grieved. He is saddened. He is brought to feel sorrow over the impact of sin entering his temple, our temple of the Holy Spirit. Now remember in Ephesians 4 verse 30, and do not grieve the Spirit of God. This is not provoking the Holy Spirit to anger. Doesn't say that here. Not that he's angry. It's that he's sad. It's that he feels sorrow. And I wonder who in their right Christ-like mind would actually desire to cause the Spirit of God to feel grief. Remember also, our sin does not limit the Holy Spirit's power, but rather it causes him to remove his power from our lives. Think of when we grieve someone, when we hurt someone, when we offend, but it causes someone sadness. Think of how they get hurt. And think of when we hurt someone, what do they do so often? They withdraw. They withdraw from us because we have hurt them. They are sad. They often don't want to look in our direction because they have been grieved by the hurtful actions that we have done against them. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He is hurt and he can withdraw. Of course, he doesn't do this in any kind of sin at all. He's perfect. He doesn't sulk in the corner, but he's saddened. Again, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Question, what does that tell us about our relationship with the Holy Spirit? It tells us that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of incredible, marvelous, supernatural intimacy. Think of how closely he is connected to us. Think of how much he loves us. Loved ones, why is the Holy Spirit so sensitive to our sin? It's because he loves us so much. If he didn't love, he wouldn't care. Think of how you feel when someone you love so much sins seriously in their lives or maybe against you. Think of how you feel when someone you care about so much and sin enters their lives in any form, especially a serious form. How do you feel about that? You are saddened. You grieve. You feel hurt. At times you are distraught. It's not their sin in your life, but it's their sin that causes you to feel that sadness and that grief. Again, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, now we're starting to understand why the Holy Spirit cares so much. Notice the Holy Spirit is the instrument by which believers are sealed, but he is also the seal itself. He seals us and he is our seal. He is our guarantee. And all of this is for the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the return of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. He regenerates us. He adopts us. He sanctifies us. He seals us. He guarantees our departure and salvation and glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. Is there anything more he can do to prove his love for us? It was the Holy Spirit that lifted your veil. It was the Holy Spirit that showed you Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit that took your clenched hands together and unloosened them that you may receive the grace of the Savior himself. It was all the Holy Spirit. That's how much he loves you and me. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Is there any wonder then why he is grieved by our sin? And isn't it so true that the more we know someone loves us, then the more we are grieved when we hurt them? I said something hurtful to one of my children the last week or so. And as you say it, and because you love them and you know they love you, it doesn't take long for the conviction to come and the sorrow to be felt and to walk back over and to apologize and say, I don't want to hurt you like that. I don't want to cause you to grieve. Now take the feelings I have towards one of my children. Now in times that by infinity of the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit of God and how much he loves us. And therefore, when we sin in such a way, the grief that he would feel and the grief that we must feel as we have grieved him. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because it causes him sorrow. It causes him sorrow. Here's a pertinent question. Okay, grieving the Holy Spirit causes him sorrow, but how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Let's look into that in detail right now. The obvious answer, as we know right now, is sin. I grieve the Holy Spirit by my sin. But can we be more specific? Yes. Let's allow our context to speak to this. If we simply look at the context of Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, we will see many detailed ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit. Just in our context of Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, here are the ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit surrounding our verses right here. Notice, first of all, when we live like pagans, Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, do not live like the world. You've been saved from that. So when worldliness fills our lives, of course, that will be a sin that will grieve, cause sorrow upon the Holy Spirit, lying. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Speaking truth is what we are called to do. When we lie, we grieve him. Being angry, verses 26 and 27. There's a righteous anger, but we're going to see in just a moment too, there's a very real unrighteous anger, and the anger that is within us grieves the Spirit of God. Stealing, verse 28 of chapter 4. In my small group this week, and we're meeting a small group of men that I meet with to study God's word, and we were asking the question about the season of taxes and what's right to do and what's wrong to do, but just to remember that when we withhold those things, it's amazing that this actually becomes a form of stealing. Dishonesty relates to stealing, and God sees it all. And so this is part of what will grieve the Spirit of God in our lives. Do we trust him, or are we seeking to be greedy and be dishonest? At the end of the day, steal. All these things grieve him. Cursing, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good. I was speaking with a friend this week who loves the Lord, and he was in a tough place, and he was angry. And in his anger, honestly, to my shock, he said a word that was certainly considered a curse word. And I have never heard him say this before. And immediately as he did it, my spirit went, and immediately I said, do not say that. And right away he recovered and repented. It was amazing to me just to hear the word spoken and the way my spirit was affected. No, that's wrong. He just says it grieves the Spirit of God within me. And I know it grieves the Spirit of God within him as well. Let us not let habits fall upon our lives that begin to quiet the voice of the Holy Spirit on a consistent basis. Bitterness, anger, slander, all of these grieve the Spirit of God. Verse 32, unforgiveness. 1 Corinthians tells us that one of the great strategies of Satan is to cause us to be wrapped up in bitter relationships with other people and to not forgive them, that we might come to significantly great harm. And this will grieve the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 3 and 5, of course, sexual sin. This is just in our context, loved ones. This is our context of what grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Now, notice especially in the immediate context surrounding verse 30. Notice verse 29 and notice verse 31 and 32. They are all relational sins. So we can say here from this text that one of the fundamental ways that we grieve the Spirit of God is when there's disunity in our lives, especially among other believers, and of course with any person at all. Notice how important biblical unity is to the Holy Spirit of God. So the question we ask right now, if you and I are serious at all of being in a right place before the Holy Spirit, that we do not desire to grieve him because it causes him sorrow, where in our lives right now are there relational sins that are being used to grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives? Who in your life do you need to get right with that you will no longer diminish and cause sadness upon the Holy Spirit of God as you and I desire to please him with our lives? Do not grieve him because it causes him sorrow as we relate to him and love him. You see the fundamental motivation here? It's because he loves us so much that we desire to love him in return. And we do not want to make him sad. As we love him, we will not grieve him. It causes him sorrow. Secondly, do not quench him. It stifles his fire. You're in Ephesians 4 right now. I'm going to ask you to turn to your right to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. Just a couple of pages. 1 Thessalonians, let's start at verse 16. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, bless you for turning. I'll just wait a couple more seconds. You get there. Shouldn't be hard. Shouldn't be hard. Just a couple of pages to the right. Chapter 5, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Do not quench the Spirit. When the word quenched is used in the New Testament, it is used in regards to suppressing fire. For example, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are commanded to take up the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Extinguish the fire, the flaming darts. Extinguish is the same word used for quenched in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In fact, the NIV, some of you have that translation right now. The NIV translates chapter 5, verse 19 in 1 Thessalonians is, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So a very helpful way for us to look at this is to see the Holy Spirit as a fire dwelling within each believer. He's the fire burning within us. And the last thing we should want to do as believers is to quench, stifle, or extinguish this fire. Consider then the two ways that a fire will go out. The first way you will cause a fire to cease, to rage, or to flame is to remove the fuel supply. A fire will not last long if the fuel supply of that fire is withdrawn. Now, I gotta admit, I love fires. I grew up as a kid, we had a fireplace in our home back when they still had fireplaces when they built homes. And I used to sit there for hours and hours tending the fire. And I remember when the dump truck would come and all the logs would be laying on the driveway and I'd be out there, man, stacking them in the garage and laying all there and going on the cold winter days and going out and carrying in a bunch of logs and lighting the fire and a little bit of a pyro, a little bit. And I remember putting the fire on and lighting it and then stoking it and putting another log on and tending to it and keeping that flame burning bright. How many campfires have I built over the years too? How fun it is to go and gather the kindling from the woods and strip off some of the birch bark and go and get bigger sticks and get ready that campfire for whatever you're going to do, cook food or roast s'mores, whatever it might be, marshmallows and all that. And you're there. But if you don't have fuel, there's no fire. You want to see the Holy Spirit fire go out? Starve it from fuel. What does that look like in our lives? What is the fuel of the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Number one way we add fuel to the Holy Spirit fire is to abide. Abiding is our strongest, biblical, most powerful way of putting fuel on the Holy Spirit fire. Abiding in what? More like abiding in who? Abiding in Jesus. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. John 15:7. How do we abide in Jesus? We abide in his word. We abide in prayer. We pray to him. We cry out to him. I just read today, Hannah, pouring out her soul, the Bible says in prayer, saying to Eli, I've poured out my soul before the Lord. And her request is granted to son Samuel that is born. You want to put fuel in the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life? You abide in Christ. You abide in his word. You abide in prayer. You abide in fellowship. You abide in musical worship. What a gift again, musical worship today, tonight. And every time you do that, love, I've rarely been aware again. I do not stand a chance of surviving another day in ministry if I don't put logs on the Holy Spirit fire. If I'm not constantly seeking him, I'm not unceasingly praying to him. If I'm not daily surrendering to him, you won't make it.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's Word to strengthen His people and His church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.